Last night in the Tarawih Salat, a major portion of Surah An-Nisa was recited. Surah An-Nisa is a Madani Surah revealed after the Hijrat, and the ulama have referred to it as Surah An-Nisa Al-Kubra, the big Surah Nisa. There is Surah Talaq which comes later on. It also has got Masail of women, etc. It's called Surah An-Nisa Al-Sughra, the small Surah An-Nisa. This one here in great detail, nearly 1.5 paras, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the different things, especially about the women folk, orphans, and the rights regarding them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commences the surah with the taqwa. This also is at the time of nikah, he recited the same ayat. Ya ayyuhan nasu taqoo rabbakum. O people, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has created you from one soul. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created a partner from the same being. The same jinns Allah ta'ala has made man and woman, so that there can be some connection, some munasaba, some affinity with one another. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to, Allah ta'ala could have created a partner, maybe from another species, like an ape or some other kind of animal, as a species to make your khidmat. But there wouldn't have been a compatibility, a person wouldn't have been able to live together. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in the after Allah ta'ala created many men. This was Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, from him, Hazrat Hawa was created. And then from there, many human beings Allah ta'ala created. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that being by whom, when you are asking for your rights, then you ask in the name of Allah, give me my rights. So fear that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And wattaqul arham, in fear breaking of family ties. Hazrat Hakim Sahib rahmatullah alayhi says, according to the tafsir kitab, family ties from your side also, and from your wife's side also. So your in-laws also fear regarding breaking the family ties. So Hazrat says that a person has to fulfill the rights of his parents, also his own family. It mustn't happen, he gets married now, and he forgets his own family. On the other hand, he gets married, he takes his wife away, and then he wants her to forget her family, or he doesn't fulfill the rights of his in-law, his father-in-law, mother-in-law. Now you've got married, your father-in-law and mother-in-law have got a great right over you. They are like your parents. You have to have respect and honor for them. So on both sides, a person must fulfill the rights of the people. And remember, إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلَيْكُمْ رَقِيبًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching over you. Allah knows exactly what you are doing, especially in the matters of nikah. Husband and wife are alone in the house. No one is looking, is with them. So a person feels like, I can do what I want to. I can oppress this woman. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, remember Allah is watching over you people. And if a person has got the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this will help and save a person from all kinds of evil, especially with regards to marriage, where a person will fulfill the rights of his wife. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that normally when it comes to the yatims, the orphans also, people are not fulfilling the rights of them. So make sure you give the yatims, the orphans, their wealth. And do not take away haram. Do not, you usurping these money, taking their money and putting it and joining it with your money. The inheritance money is not given to children. And unfortunately, in the Muslim world, till today, very few people fulfill the rights when it comes to inheritance, giving of to the women folk and giving to the orphans. There's a lot of weakness in this. And just like how a person steals, he goes to a bank, he robs, and takes away money. We all know it's haram, that money is completely haram money, it's not your money. Similarly, inheritance money, if you're taking somebody else's, you're stepping the rights of somebody else, maybe you're not taking a gun, but it's exactly the same thing. The money is completely haram for a person. It's not permissible for a person. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a warning. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَأْكُرُونَ أَمْوَالَ الْيَتَامَ ظُلْمًا. A person who eats the wealth of the orphans. إِنَّمَا يَأْكُرُونَ فِي بُطُونِهِمْ نَارًا. He oppressed them. And what he is only doing, he's taking that wealth and he's eating fire, the fire of Jahannam in his stomach. He's putting the fire of Jahannam in his stomach. And in this world already, he's eating the fire of Jahannam. And you will see the effects of Sayyaslawna Sa'ira when he will enter the fire of Jahannam. Outwardly there will be fire also, inside there will be fire also. He's eating that haram wealth. So a person has to be very cautious and careful regarding the wealth of the orphans and regarding the wealth of widows. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions here also the masail that not to what they used to do in the times of Jahiliyyah, that if a young girl, she was an orphan, she had a lot of money, they would just get married to her and all of the money they would take. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you're going to oppress somebody, don't do that there. Rather get married to other women folk. If you want 2, 2, 3, 3, 4, 4. And if you fear that you cannot be just with them, then one wife or whatever your right hand possesses, the slave girls, this is the least. So a person doesn't commit oppression. So anyhow, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the masail of polygamy, which unfortunately in the Western world is regarded as a crime to get married to more than one wife. And to have many mistresses, to commit adultery, this is regarded as nothing wrong. Certain countries, they actually have prohibited, they have banned a person getting, you get married to a second wife, they can arrest you. But if you have an affair, then it's not a problem at all. Whereas Islam wants to protect the rights of all the women folk, and we know in the world there are much more women folk than men. If the system of polygamy is not encouraged, or is not allowed, then many women will be remaining without a spouse. in the time of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, it was the general practice was polygamy. And having one wife, this was a few people used to have Sahaba radiallahu anhum. And it was such the society in Medina Munawwara that every single woman was married off. As soon as somebody would pass away, for her iddat will come to an end, somebody will get married to her. The second wife, third wife, whatever. So there was, you wouldn't find any woman who was unmarried. So this led to a very pure society, a very clean society. And this is the most perfect system, the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we follow the other systems, the Western system, and their ideologies and their lifestyles. Then this leads to so much of fitna, so much of evil come about in the society. And then the woman, the rights are not fulfilled. When a woman is now not unmarried, then she is left to the prey of many wolves. And people take advantage of her, and all her rights are trampled upon. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the most perfect system. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the masail of inheritance in great detail. The juziyat, the finer points have been mentioned of inheritance. So that there is no doubt regarding which portion must be given to which person. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after mentioning the rights, the portions, Allah says, "Tilka hududullah." These are the bounds of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whoever follows Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah will grant him jannat. This is the last action of a person's life when you are leaving this world. You are passing away. You pass away in obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If your inheritance is distributed correctly, you have written out. And it's not necessary to write in Islamic world if a person doesn't have any debt, etc. But the ulama say it's still mustahab, it's still good. And especially in South Africa, we are living in non-Muslim countries, where it's compulsory for a person to write out a will. Because it mustn't happen, a person passes away, and then now it goes to the government, and they sort out according to how they feel appropriate. And in South Africa also, if a person doesn't have a will, and he's got minor children, then all the money goes into a trust, and they have to make another trust, the executors, and so much of money goes, sometimes more than what was left for the children, just to make that trust, it costs so much of money. So therefore, the safest thing would be for every person to make sure, ensure he's got his Islamic will, he writes it out, and no one has got guarantee when he'll pass away. If I'm saying, I'm young still, so I don't need to make a will, when I get old, then I'll do it. But a person should have his will ready, so that if whatever happens, if he passes away, then inshallah, then all the matters will be sorted out very easily. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, those who disobey Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they exceed the bounds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will enter them into the fire, and they will remain there for a very long time. And walahu azabun muheen, for him is a very disgraceful punishment. After Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the masail of some ulama say lesbianism, homosexuality, if a person gets involved in this year, and the punishment is extremely severe, according to one view, it will be left to the discretion of the qadi how that person must be killed, the person who has done the evil action of homosexuality, lesbianism, whether they must be taken and flung from a high building and thrown down, or whether a rock must be taken and thrown over them, or they must be crushed by something, or they must be burned by fire. There's all different views of different ulama to show the severity of the crime. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, but if a person makes tawbah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will definitely forgive the person, but now don't wait until death comes. Then a person wants to make tawbah, then it's too late for a person. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, love with your wives, wa'ashiruhunna bil ma'roof, love with them in a beautiful way. They will have their weaknesses. Make sabr, despite they are crooked. They've got many, many weaknesses. Allah has created them in that way. But Allah is here, as it mentions to us, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making sifarish on behalf of the woman. Somebody comes, if what a week a person comes to you, a big person, he says, my daughter, she's not well, I want you to get married to her and look after her. So because that big person has come to you, the king of the country, she look after the princess, she's not well, how a person will look after her? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, this is my bandi, this is my servant, you look after her in a beautiful way, to make sabr, despite all of her weaknesses, and not only sabr, wal ihsani ilayhinna, a person has to be kind, even if he does wrong to a person, he must still be kind towards his wife. This is how a person was living a married life. And Allah says, if you dislike them, then perhaps you die dislike something. Whereas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put in them great amount of goodness. Don't look at the one fault and the two faults and the weaknesses. How much of goodness they have got, and take the benefit from their goodnesses. And how much they as a person, if you look at faults, we are full of faults. So look at the goodness in a person and not the faults and the weaknesses in a person. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the masail of who can a person get married to and who he cannot get married to. We cannot get married to many, like our parents, our children, it will be referred to as incest, and all other women who a person cannot get married to. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this in detail. And if you want to get married, then get married, give your meher, a certain amount, dowry. This is a command from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. With respect and honor, you give a woman a certain dowry, and then you take her into your nikah for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns us here that a person must get married and to protect himself and his chastity, and he mustn't be just to fulfill his desires, and he mustn't take a girlfriend or have some extramarital affairs. Wala muttakhidati aqdan. Today's time is very common, a person has a girlfriend or he wants to go out with a girl first for 6 months, 1 year, and thereafter I'll get married. This is a love marriage. Outwardly it seems very beautiful, but in reality it is only harm. And according to statistics also, the arranged marriages, where the parents arrange a marriage, is much more lasting, has much more benefit, and the great benefits we can see. A man and woman do not know one another at all, but they didn't know what to expect. So now you get married, and now you're living with her, and all your expectations rise. MashaAllah, I'm getting this, I'm getting that. But you're living in a love marriage for that 6 months, 1 year, you're only seeing the good of that girl, and you're not seeing anything evil about her. Now when you get married, now you're staying with her 24 hours. And now you're getting a shock. I thought she was like a queen of Jannah, a whore of Jannah. And I see she also got this weakness, she got that weakness. So what your expectations were and where it comes right down. So that is why most of the marriages end up in divorce thereafter. And also Allah Ta'ala does not place barakat and blessings in such marriages where the foundation is starting off with guna and sin. So a person lives a pure life, a chaste life, and he gets married in the correct way. See how much of barakat and blessings Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala will put in that marriage. Thereafter Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has mentioned for any marriage also that a man Allah has made him the Amir in the house. Like how every country has to have a king. No country can say that it's not fair. Everybody must be the king. The country will run into problems. You have to have one king and you have many subjects. So in a house Allah Ta'ala has made the man, automatically he's the king of the house. He's the ruler of the house. And he must run the affairs of the house. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala says he has given fadilat over some of you over others. وَبِمَا أَنْفَقُوا مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ. And because they are spending their wealth, it is the duty of the husband to spend his wealth on the wife. And today, unfortunately, when the women have gone out of their houses and they are earning their own money, they are becoming independent. So one great harm of this is that she says, I'm independent, I don't need my husband. The minute there is a problem, she wants to leave. Whereas in the past, a woman knew she was under the husband. No matter what, she would make the marriage. She would try hardest to look after the marriage. And then this marriage would eventually last. There will be some sacrifices in the beginning she has to make. Sometimes the husband has to make sacrifices. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it such that the marriage lasts. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that if a woman is doing wrong also, how must a person correct her? فَعِذُوهُنَّ. First give her some nasihat and advices, try to encourage her. Then if she's still not listening, stop eating her food. Then if still she's not listening, then stay separate from the bedding. Stay sleep in another room. She must feel hurt. And finally, if then too she is not coming right, وَضْرِبُهُنَّ. A person is allowed to hit her, but the tafsir comes, وَضْرِبُهُنَّ غَيْرَ مُبَرَّحٍ. You cannot leave any marks on her body. You cannot leave, and this also is the last resort. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, I do not like those people who hit and beat their wives, and then at the end of the day, they want to go and fulfill the rights. And ulama say, take a miswak stick just to break the pride in a woman, and you give her 1-2 shots to show that you are upset with her, but to leave marks on her body, or to hit her with a fist, or to hit her face, is not permissible for a person to hit an animal or so on the face. So how can it be permissible then for a person to hit his wife on the face? And in a fit of anger, he's going wild. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلِيًّا كَبِيرًا. Remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most lofty. Allah is most powerful. Allah is most big. So don't think I am big and I am powerful. I can do what I want. Allah is over you. The zulam and oppression you are doing, this eventually will hit back to a person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you're still having problems and you hear this splitting amongst yourselves, then get somebody from both sides of the family to come and try to correct the matters. If they both want to make the marriage work, Allah Ta'ala will give tawfiq, Allah will create the means between them. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, not only them, but fulfill the rights of all people. And fulfilling the rights of people first is the command of Allah. وَعْبُدُ اللَّهِ. First worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All the rights of people have to be fulfilled. But first is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then do not make any partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fulfill the rights of your parents, family members, orphans, poor people, your neighbors, close neighbors, far neighbors, person who is sitting next to you, whether it's your wife or you're sitting in a bus or you're traveling somewhere, the person who is sitting next to you and the traveler and your slaves also, fulfill their rights also. Be kind to your slaves also. Allah Ta'ala does not like those people who have got the quality of pride in them, arrogance in them. This is one reason why a person doesn't fulfill rights, because he's got pride. A person who's got the quality of stinginess, he will not fulfill the rights of people. And what Allah Ta'ala has given to him, he hides it and conceals it. He doesn't want to give it. And those people who spend their money also out of show, and they don't believe in Allah and the day of Qiyamah, these people are those who will never fulfill the rights of people. So come out of these qualities and make sure you fulfill the rights of all the people. We have to learn to fulfill the rights of others. Regarding our own rights, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But regarding the rights of others, we will be questioned on the day of Qiyamah. Did you fulfill the rights of others? Allah will not question us on the day of Qiyamah. Did other people fulfill your right? So a person must always say, I must try to fulfill the rights of others. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in great detail the importance of following the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the time of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, there was one case which was brought to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He gave a judgment in favor of one Jewish person, and the other person was a hypocrite. He wasn't happy. Then he went to Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu with the same case. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu heard that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had passed the decision already, and this man was not happy with the decision of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He brought his sword and he cut the person's head off, and the people started making a big noise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent ayat of the Quran and freeing Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu from all accusation and blame. If you not have true iman, until you make Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam your ruler, your judge, in a matter which you have dispute amongst yourselves. And once Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passes the judgment, you must not find any hardness in your heart, any other feelings in your heart of what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has passed the decision. Or you sallimu taslima, and you must accept wholeheartedly the decision of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is the yaqeen and iman a person has to bring. So whatever my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has passed judgment, I must accept it wholeheartedly. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions regarding hijrat and the great virtue of hijrat. A person going out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it was faraz for a person to go for hijrat. And a person who did not go, it was actually an alamat and sign of iman. So a person didn't go out, he didn't go for hijrat, he was not regarded as a Muslim person also. So this was a faraz ayn and compulsory, except if a person was excused, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the permission in the Quran Sharif. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this in great detail. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, ma asawaka min hasanatin fa min Allah. وَمَا أَصَابَكَ مِنْ سَيِّئَةٍ فَمِنْ نَفْسِكَ. Whatever goodness comes to a person, it is only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One Hazrat Hakim Sahib rahmatullah alayhi na khanka, one person went to him and said, Hazrat, I'm getting a lot of pride. Allah has given me any bounties. So then Hazrat said, every day, and in every majlis, Hazrat used to repeat this, yeah. مَا أَصَابَكَ مِنْ حَسَنَةٍ فَمِنْ اللَّهِ. Whatever goodness comes to a person, attribute it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا أَصَابَكَ مِنْ سَيِّئَةٍ. Any harm, evil comes to a person, then regard it as the evil of myself. In reality, everything comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The ayat before this comes, everything comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we must always attribute goodness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and attribute evil to ourselves. So this is a very easy ilaj and cure for saving a person from pride. That ma asabaka min hasanatin fa min Allah. It has only come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm not worthy of it, deserving of it. It has come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This will save a person from ujab also, from vanity. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the virtue of making salam. And as we had mentioned, hijrat is mentioned in great detail. Killing a person, murdering a person is extremely great sin. Even mistakenly, if you kill a person, there is a punishment for it, kafara a person has to give. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned this in detail. And if you kill a person purposely, a Muslim person, Allah says the actual desire, the demand of this is Jahannam, which a person will remain forever. Allah is angry upon that person. Allah curses that person. And Allah has made a very severe punishment for such a person. May Allah ta'ala protect us from all kinds of, in today's time, murder unfortunately is taking place. Abortion is also one type of murder. How many people are committing abortions and they are killing their innocent child in the womb of the mother? So Allah ta'ala protect and save all of us from this. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the virtues of making hijrat in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he says, وَمَنْ يَخْرُجْ مِنْ بَيْتِهِ مُحَاجِنًا إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. A person who comes out of his house making hijrat to Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and death comes to him on the way, he will get the full reward by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So one sahabi wanted to go for hijrat. He was very sick. He said, no, you know, no matter what, in my sickness also I want to go out. They put his bed, they carried him, put him on the animal, on the way he passed away. Family was very distressed. He never reached the place. So Allah said, no, he came out from his house. He had the intention. He has got the full reward by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat Ami rahmatullah alayhi masail al-suluk right there. Similarly, those people who are in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the path of suluk, and they want to go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and on the way they passed away, but they were on that road, the person will get the full reward by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will reach his destination. Allah ta'ala will regard him as a wali of Allah, as a buzruk, because he made an effort, he went in that path. So this is great gratitude for a person. We make an effort in that line, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant it to a person. In the last quarter of this part also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the rights of the wife, and when a person has more than one wife, then a person must be fair and just with them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about shaitan, that if you take shaitan as your friend, then he will completely, you are in complete loss, and shaitan will command people, فَلَيُغَيِّرُنَّ خَلْقَ اللَّهِ. They will change how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created human beings. Ulama say this means, there are different meanings. For example, a man has got a beard, so shaitan encourages a person, change how Allah ta'ala created you, your surat and your form, look like a woman. So a person shaves off his beard. Or women folk have got long hair, Allah has created, Now a woman is cutting her hair. She's looking like a man. So this is all from the side of shaitan. People are removing their eyebrows. Some people are tattooing themselves. So all of these are means by which shaitan is making a person change the surat and the form which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him. Today it's very common also. The plastic surgery. Just for beauty, a person is doing it in all the cosmetic surgery. They are looking at all advertisements and pictures and they are getting desire. I don't look nice. I don't look pretty. And the person is always feeling down. So a person needs to change himself. So this is all from the side of shaitan. And Allah ta'ala says, shaitan ya'iduhum wa yumannihim. He'll promise you, give you long, long hopes. But all of his promises are nothing but deception. And those people who do good actions, whether they are males or females, eventually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant them jannat. And no oppression will take place upon such people. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst such people.